The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a Friday morning, Friday, May 3rd it is, and we are happy to have you along for the ride here this morning. Ricardo Morales is my guest this morning for the entire hour, Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities for the City of Pittsfield. Always lots to talk about when we have Ricardo on the program. You know you're going to be hearing about North Street. You're going to be hearing about trash removal, water and sewer rates, and lots of other stuff. Probably won't have enough time, really, to talk about everything we want to talk about. We will get to that in just a moment. First, let's get to the Berkshire weather forecast and see what's on tap for us in the next 36 hours or so from the National Weather Service. Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly sunny. Highs in the mid-60s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-40s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, partly sunny. Highs in the mid-60s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's going to be a nice night for First Fridays at 5, the first Fridays at 5, which is happening tonight, 5 o'clock, yeah, down on North Street. And we'll be talking about North Street in just a bit. Let's do a couple of quick announcements for you. Eats a Pizza is back. That's right. Join PCTV and WTBR for the biggest and tastiest pizza event around, May 23rd at Berkshire Hills Country Club on Benedict Road in Pittsfield. You can enjoy pizza from the following vendors. We have Pizza Trails, Dalton HD Pizza, The Locker Room, Berkshire Mantiques, KJ Nosh, Porta Villa, Papa John's, Papa Joe's, and Zuko's, and they're all amazing. Much, much more. Decide who will win the People's Choice Award that night. Eats a Pizza, the Berkshire Hills Country Club on May 23rd. There are tickets available right now at pittsfieldtv.org, and you can get those right now if you want to. All right. And we also have a quick announcement about the Alliance for Digital Equity, which is a coalition representing four counties and 62 organizations in Western Mass. They're inviting you to join them for a first ever convening on advancing digital equity in the Berkshires. In partnership with State Senator Paul Mark, State Representative Tricia Farley Bouvier, and the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission and the Berkshire United Way, that's happening on May 10th from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Common Room of Zion Lutheran Church in Pittsfield. And for this partnership to explore digital equity solutions for the country of the counties, urban, suburban, and rural areas. Lunch, coffee, and morning snacks will be provided free for all. And this is a community-oriented, distributed network gathering of organizations across community-based nonprofits, healthcare, social services, libraries, councils on aging, education sectors, and interested municipalities. So check that out on May 10th at the Zion Lutheran Church. Okay, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Ricardo Morales, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Always good to have you on the show. We always learn a lot when you come on, and we talk about everything that your department handles. As we know, it's a wide-ranging sort of spate of things, everything from roads and bridges to water and sewer and everything in between, potholes,
snow plowing. Let me check. Yeah, let me check what's, what else is on the list.
A lot.
Yeah.
And so it seems like always stuff in the news also and on people's minds as they run into it during their daily lives. It's things that they depend on that the city of Pittsfield provides through your tax dollars, and that's why people are interested in it. So let's talk about, first, I'll give a brief look over, because we know it's been covered a lot in the news already, but the potential for another new redesign of North Street. But this one seems much more in-depth, much more fully thought through. Obviously, there's been conversation about it for the past 4 or 5 years, almost the entire amount of time that you've been the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities.
That's right.
So let's talk about that. Where are we at with North Street?
Well, I think we have to touch quickly on why we are where we are, right? Mm-hmm. The history that led us to where we have in this point in time, right? We, when the pandemic hit, we saw the opportunity to change how we have North Street and serve for the purposes that we have on North Street, right? We wanted North Street to be more calm. We were seeing dangerous trends to, speeding vehicles. Mm-hmm. Speeds were higher everywhere. Mm. So the state put out grants and specifically to address these issues. And one of the things, one of the grants we sought for was the shared streets and spaces. Mm-hmm. And with that money, we were able to restripe in a couple of rounds with some community input changes. We were able to restripe North Street quickly, I would say efficiently in terms of the work we did. Mm-hmm. Using state funds. And with that, we narrowed down, it's a road diet. We eliminated one lane in each direction. Mm. And the space we had at the end, we used it for a double protected bike lane. Mm-hmm. It gave us the opportunity to analyze what happens when you do something like that. Mm. And what we found out was, as this pilot program was installed, and we gave it about a year before we started studying it, we found out that active mobility was rising in usage and presence on North Street, with 200 to 300 bike rides per day through one intersection. Hmm. We saw that crashes went down about 70%. We saw that one lane of travel for North Street was adequate mm-hmm. to handle the traffic pre-pandemic that was on North Street. Hmm. So now we have to think about the next steps. And DPI, the Downtown Pittsfield Inc., put it on the city to analyze what angle parking can accomplish and if it can be implemented on North Street. And
so from that first grant,
right,
that was kind of the pilot program to say, okay, what would happen if we were to change this stuff? And then the second iteration was, remember we had those little plastic barriers or whatever that got knocked down every once in a while, but that went away, and then another restriping came in. Now, what changed between the first iteration and the second iteration?
The first iteration was a mix and match of different treatments in different blocks. Mm. We heard clear that it was not consistent. And, it was intentionally not consistent because we were trying different approaches at the height of the pandemic where people were not going out
right.
at that point. So we were trying things with lower risks. Mm-hmm. And we heard loud and clear that we want uniformity. Mm. We want there's certain things we want. We heard loud and clear that one lane was welcomed, mm-hmm. so we kept that aspect in the design in the second iteration. One of the things that was implemented was the parking on the lateral parking was pushed out from the curb, and that allowed for a bike lane in between the parking and the curb. Hmm. That was not, that was not welcomed entirely. Maybe it was because it was just one block. It was not uniform throughout the entire corridor.
Right. You had to, if you were traveling so the entire thing, then you'd have to change. Okay, what is it now?
Right.
Now
right.
I have to move over here. Okay.
So we changed that immediately. It took, we changed again with blind painting. We changed that quickly within a year. Hmm. And again, with state funds. Mm-hmm. And we included in that next round of changes the study. So even the study was paid by the state. Mm. So we analyzed, we studied it for 1 year, what the impacts are. And we found out those impacts are positive mm-hmm. in our city.
So now we find ourselves at the next inflection point of that process, right, where we've had a redesign of the striping, essentially, of the repainting of how the lanes work on North Street. And now it seems like we're going to go in for a deeper dive to say, okay, what do we actually want to do to sort of make this more permanent and then also improve on what we already have, right?
Correct.
So there's been a number of different designs that are floated. Nothing is permanent yet, and it's also not anything that's going to be happening tomorrow.
No. Few things very important things. Mm-hmm. We're not changing anything immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We are taking our time to sit down with the community, with stakeholders, with Downtown Pittsfield Inc., with business owners, with residents of Downtown Pittsfield, with the residents of the city as a whole. We will have community sessions.
Mm-hmm.
We have things in the table that can go. We have things in the table that must stay. One of those things that that have to absolutely stay is a one lane of travel. We have heard, we have seen it in the study. We have heard from the community that one lane is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
In each direction to slow people down.
Yep.
So what do we do at intersections? What do we do in special conditions where, you know, in front of the YMCA, in, mm-hmm. Near the Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, that always seems to come up.
So those are things that are up for discussion, mm-hmm. With the communities and stakeholders.
Yep, and we also hear about emergency vehicles, for example.
Absolutely.
Central Fire Station being right off of North Street on Columbus Ave.
Same with the police department.
Always needs to get out, right?
Right. Yep. So we are taking the time now, this season, mm-hmm. to evaluate that, to go to the public, to hone in the design. And then for next year, the plan is for next year, we implement.
Mm-hmm.
And this year will also include our focus on obtaining funding to do this work, mm. as well.
Yeah, that's always an issue, right, is to make sure that
right.
It's not a huge burden on local taxpayers
right.
as well to get this, you know, right. You know, some of the main points of how, depending on which design gets selected, I know that, you know, I think it published in the Berkshire Eagle was a couple of design pictures, which can leave a lasting memory, for example. But some of the concepts are interesting, little wider sidewalks to allow merchants to do some things that they can't do right now, maybe some outdoor cafe or some retail, you know, outdoor stuff, which is kind of cool. A protected bike lane, either raised or not raised, with
right.
a curb that keeps it away from traffic. And then the other concept that was discussed and maybe not completely off the table yet is angled or diagonal parking. So talk about how all of those thrown into the mix there will work together.
Right. So it's all about the space we have and what can we do with that space. We know that we want parking. We want one lane of travel in each direction,
mm-hmm.
and we want wide sidewalks, and we want bicycle lanes. Mm-hmm. Those are the three things that we need.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wide cross section. We currently have medians that could be, you know, in the mix for things that don't have to stay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know yet. We're mm-hmm. going to go to the public, and mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about this with the public.
Because the width of North Street will accommodate a lot of those possibilities,
yeah.
right? That's the one nice thing that you have,
right.
is a lot of space to work with there.
Right. I mean, if I had a wish list, if I had a genie that granted me some wishes here specifically, a very specific genie for North Street, it would be to have space for a streetcar.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be amazing.
I totally agree with you there.
To get people moving between the ends of our downtown and even beyond our downtown, maybe Tyler Street, mm-hmm. Elm Street, Wakona, mm-hmm. West, South Street. It would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I hear people say, put North Street the way it was before. That's what I think about. North Street used to have a streetcar before.
Certainly did.
So I like that idea.
Yeah.
I like putting North Street the way it was before.
I'll tell you what, that would bring people downtown.
Oh, absolutely.
It would attract people here. It sounds like a crazy idea, but I think it would be crazy enough to work,
right?
Personally. Talk to us about how, with the protected bike lanes, imagine yourself now being the biker and starting from one end of North Street and working your way up to the end. Of course, you've got multiple different streets where cars are pulling into a turning lane. So right now, there's no turning lane, but people are using the existing mm-hmm. bike lanes as turning lanes. The protected lane would help avoid that problem, but you'd still, as a bike rider, have to obey those type of stops. So will there be some notice for the riders also to get to that point and say, okay, I'm coming to an intersection, I'm supposed to stop, do I have signalization? How does that all work?
Yeah, there's options, and what we do at the intersection matters. And what I have a so there's design standards, mm-hmm. and predominantly the most prominent design standards come from the National Association of City Transportation Officials, NACTO.
Mm-hmm.
So they have one book. It's called "Don't Give Up at the Intersection."
Okay.
So it's a book dedicated for intersection treatments for active mobility.
Hmm.
So we have that. We will be following standards from there. There's options.
Mm-hmm.
What we do at the intersection matters, and it's very important.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been in many cities where they have multiple iterations of those designs that are listed in the standards.
Mm.
We have signals. We have you know, Denver. You can move with on your bike. It's by law you are allowed to use the walk signal when you're on a bicycle.
Okay,
it's always in cycle. Mm-hmm. No one has to push it.
Mm-hmm.
In Denver, you can also there's this law where you can on a red light you can use it when you're a bicyclist. You can use a red light as a rolling stop, right? You can come, you know, it's a stop sign, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Those are
design implementations that can accommodate intersections for active mobility.
And these are all things that people in other communities where bike lanes have been more common for many years are used to those kinds of things, right?
Yes.
They just know it's built into your thought process. When you see the walk light, you can go as a biker.
Right.
So lots of things coming up on that. Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning. If you're just tuning in, he's the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities for the City of Pittsfield, and we're talking about the North Street redesign and how that's going to potentially look. Lots of things to be decided there, and nothing happening anytime soon, but we could be looking at sometime next year potentially, or
that's the goal.
Definitely. Yeah. So let's talk about some other projects that are happening sooner than that, and things that people will see a difference with sooner. The West Street intersection, and I know last year you and I talked about this on this program, and certainly there had been some very unfortunate incidents in that area of West Street and West Street, I guess is what you'd call it, with the T that happens right there after the bridge and the big Y, Salvation Army area there. Everybody knows where that is. So there were some discussions about how traffic would flow and change there, and there's been a couple of major developments. So talk about that.
Right. West Street is still in the works. We will go back to at least one more community meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We have some updates to our design. We have some finalized renderings to show the public how it will look. We have made accommodations. Nothing will be like eliminated. We're not eliminating travel lanes. We're mm-hmm. not eliminating turn lanes. We are now, the big change in this iteration will be, what do we do at the intersection of West and West?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be important. You know, when the mayor took office, one of the first things he said, I want you to include the intersection work in that scope.
Mm-hmm.
So we set to the task of looking at that. Do we have reconfiguration geometrically to allow for a better intersection? Do we have signalization? Do we have a better stop system? Can we go without that turn lane? Do we add a roundabout? All those things mm-hmm. were considered. And at the moment, you know, what the strong one and what we will be presenting is a signalization at that intersection. Mm. So we...
I know that had been advocated by a lot of people wanted to see a signal there. But there were also people that wanted to see a roundabout there.
Yes.
Or just leave it alone. But that clearly wasn't going to be a great option.
So we have kept, I would say, most, if not all, of the design considerations we have been discussing over the years. We met with the church. We met with Eversource. We've met with the stakeholders in that area. Mm-hmm. We conducted community meetings, one of them at the housing complex in that area, mm-hmm. so that we can capture the sentiment of the people that live there and use that daily. Yep. We met with individuals from that space. We, you know, took qualitative surveying of how people use that space by being there on several mornings, mm-hmm. looking at how the school bus interacts with the different stops they have in that section, mm-hmm. how kids use that, how, you know, kids walking or using the school bus mm-hmm. Use that corridor. How people make turns from west and west towards that area. How people, moms and kids cross the street to go to the park. All of those things we've been looking at over the last year, and we're ready to move forward for the next phase of this project.
So you think likely that signalization at that intersection is going to be probably implemented?
Yeah, we want to put forward a project that would start this year.
Mm-hmm. So that's right there in the works, and you heard it here first. and of course, that project is not just about that intersection, because it does affect everything from that point west down toward all the way down toward Valentine Road, with fewer impacts from that intersection.
But there's
certainly a busy corridor.
Yes. The more busier the corridor, the more commercial and mixed use, you'll see more changes in terms of the geometrical design. As we get closer to Valentine, it's going to be more of a resurfacing and a paint job.
Mm-hmm. But to keep things basically flowing easily, and to protect people who are pedestrians and bike riders, and basically to extend the courtesies that we're trying to extend in downtown. It doesn't mean that, you know, people riding bikes are just going to be riding them downtown. They're riding them everywhere to and from, right?
That's right.
So, all right. So West Street is a big deal. Let's we've got so many big things to talk about here. While we're on roads, let's talk about some paving projects. We've heard people talk about East Street. And that is still in a pretty rough condition, parts of it anyway. Some of it was paved last year, just in anticipation of the larger project that's coming through, right? And is that a city project or a state project coming up?
So there's a state project. You mentioned the part we paved.
Yeah.
That is a city project. Okay. We are scheduled right now on the Transportation Improvement Plan, with federal and state funding, to have that project start in 2028.
Wow.
So that's great news.
Yep.
Also, you heard it first here.
So now we know at least the timeline for the schedule, right? That
right.
It's going to be a 4 years. That's when it starts.
That's when the project starts. So that's going to be from Lyman to Elm Street.
Mm.
We're taking the time now to finish the design. We are at 25% design. We need to take it to 100% design, and potentially, you know, take there's going to be some easements takings and for everything that we want to do. The part that's in real rough shape right now is much sooner.
Yeah, near Woodlawn,
We have that project. It's a state project on our right of way.
Okay.
So it's our responsibility to take any easements and takings. And we've been working with the state on that. Hmm. They want to bid that work in September of this year, and construction starts early spring next year.
Okay.
So
no sense in really going back through and doing any kind of repaving on something that's going to happen in a matter of months.
Correct. Hmm. We will be doing some treatments, you know, potholes and putting down some material to make it better.
Tolerable.
That's going to happen in the next weeks. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to be resurfacing that section at this point. What we want to do is wait for that project to start.
What will be the main changes once the project is complete in that area?
Well, you have one lane of travel in each direction there. Mm-hmm. That's going to stay. Mm-hmm. There's going to be sections where you're going to have the dual left turn. The some people call it the hell lane or something like that. It's
the one where you can turn either way in that center lane.
Right. Mm-hmm. The center lane, dual left turn lane. And some sections will have that. Some sections will have a median. Mm-hmm. There's going to be separate bike lanes on each side. There's going to be some intersection improvements with better signalization. Mm-hmm. There's going to be so it covers three intersections, Merrill and East, Woodlawn and East, and then Silver Lake is the third intersection. There's going to be some pedestrian crossing near Lyman. That's where the project really ends, just before Lyman Street. So all of those things are incorporated, and it'll have new sidewalks, new landscaping.
Wow. So there are really two different projects going on East Street, if you think about it.
Yes.
Right.
That corridor, about that corridor, East Street and then Merrill Road, there's three projects.
Wow.
So the state owns Merrill Road. Mm-hmm. They are planning on improving Merrill Road sometime in the next 5 years well. So that's being designed right now.
So that starts with that flyover and then heads into Allendale, Coltsville area.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the big part of that's, I would say, taking the time. It's the critical path of that project is getting down the easements and property agreements with General Electric and General Dynamics, because what we want to do is bring the rail trail path that ends on Merrill Road. That's where it ends. That we're building it right now from Crane Ave behind Aldi's.
Yeah, if you're driving by on Merrill Road now, you can see the work.
You can see the work. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that project is underway. Maximilian is doing the work. Mm. And it's going to end on Merrill. So the project the state is doing is bringing that path along Merrill Road towards East Street.
Okay.
And once we get to East Street, so what we need is this space. Mm-hmm. And that's where the state is negotiating with different property owners, mostly General Electric and General Dynamics.
Yeah.
So
A lot of stuff goes on behind the scenes to make these things work.
Definitely.
People love to see the final result, and they love to see the work being done, but it takes all this work behind the scenes to even get to that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we want to marry those two, the rail trail onto, now at that point it will be outside of the rail trail. Mm-hmm. It won't be a rail trail anymore from that point on. Mm-hmm. There's active rail. That's why we cannot keep using the rail.
Yeah.
And so into a shared use path. Mm-hmm. And from that point, we have a fork. We can continue on East Street, onto East Street from Merrill Road onto East Street. That's one option. We want to keep that as an option. Mm-hmm. And the other option for people using it is to go north onto Woodlawn Woodlawn and then onto Tyler Street.
Oh, okay.
And from there, you can approach our downtown in both ways, in both directions.
That'll be interesting to see how that all works out. And not everything is decided there yet either. A couple other hotspots in the area. Obviously, the project for Upper North near the hospital in full swing now. We've been talking about that as you've been on the show in the past. And I remember hearing about how it was 25% designed. And, so we've really followed that all along. But now it's happening. When is that anticipated to be finished up? That's a longer project, I imagine.
It's a long project. Mm-hmm. We are expecting that, I believe. So that's a state project. I don't have the dates in my head right now. But I'm pretty sure that substantial completion is sometime end of next year.
Wow. Yeah. So not a bad timeline there. Certainly that will change those traffic patterns. They've already started changing.
Yeah.
Where you can't go south past the hospital on Route 7 now. You're really going all the way to First and Tyler, and
so that,
then taking that right. right?
That south leg will be an option once it's open. The northern,
it'll come off of the roundabout.
Right. Yeah. You cannot go into the roundabout from North Street.
Right. Which was always kind of a dangerous thing anyway. Right. So that solves that.
Right. So yeah, it's a great project. Mm-hmm. It's going to match what we have for Tyler Street to our downtown, traditionally known as our downtown North Street. So it connects those two in a very meaningful way.
Right. Are we going to see any love for Crane Avenue? That's just a personal one of mine.
Yeah.
That one's, is that on the list for
this
year?
It's on the list for this year, okay, yeah. We're going to update it.
There's some pretty rough spots.
It won't be the whole length, but it will be addressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, that's one of those thoroughfares that really, if you think about it, is kind of a residential street in a lot of ways.
Right.
But it's such a critical tie between a couple different main areas of the city, right? It's a Route 7, if you're getting from that part of the city to Coltsville and to Route 8 and Route 9, it's just used by so many people.
Yeah, it's
probably some heavy stuff too, which they shouldn't be using it for.
It's crazy. We have not stopped doing road work, you know, and nor should we, right? We have not stopped doing road work for the last 6 years or more. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just talking about how long I've been here.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, we have so much more that needs to be done. It's never ending,
right?
And we need to keep on doing this. If we stop, we lose, right? Yeah. So that's what, you know, when we stopped in years prior, we started losing, and it reflects later.
Yeah,
and that's what we're seeing now.
You get a setback, and it takes even longer to recover from the setback.
Right.
So, yeah, no doubt about it. Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. We are going to take our top of the hour break now, and we'll come right back and delve into some water and sewer rates and trash removal. Those things are coming up real quick, and we definitely want to talk about that. So here we go, do that break, and we'll come right back. 89.7 WTBR FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
It's a whole new way of life.
Well, let's hear it.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Are you feeling alone and struggling with your mental health? The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention wants you to know that help is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 988 to talk to someone at the National Suicide Prevention Line, or go to berkshirecoalition.org for a list of available local resources. You are not alone.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hola, hola. I'm Daisy.
Yo soy Marta.
Whether you want to learn a little Spanish or get a glimpse of our wonderful Latin roots, join us as we celebrate Latin culture with music from genres ranging from salsa to bachata. Gain insight on local news, community information, and very special guests. Only on Mundo Latino. Welcoming listeners of all nations on WTBR 89.7 FM.
Support for Mundo Latino comes from community health programs. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care. It's almost time for spring cleanups.
Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you again on Friday, May 3rd, and our guest, Ricardo Morales, the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities for the City of Pittsfield. Lots to talk about, and I hope we can get as much of it in as we can in the last half hour here. A quick listen to the weather forecast first before we do that, and we'll be right back.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly sunny. Highs in the mid-60s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-40s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, partly sunny. Highs in the mid-60s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, nice quick forecast. That's what we like. Nice day. Going to be a very nice night, I think, for First Fridays at 5. Looking forward to that. That'll be quite the event there on North Street, the first block of North Street, and moving, of course, for the first time in a few years after the pandemic from the Common, where it was moved, and now going back to North Street and going back to its roots, as it were. So it should be a fun night tonight, 5 p.m. down on North Street. All right, Ricardo, good morning again. Thanks again for being here. Yeah. And I'll turn your mic on so we can actually hear you. There you go.
You can hear me now. Thanks for, I love being here, so it's good.
You always have a good conversation. And so let's talk about the other things that are in the news recently, and a trash pickup, which is something that Pittsfield residents enjoy as part of their tax package, shall we say. People in Pittsfield don't necessarily pay for their trash to be picked up from an outside hauler. You don't have to deal with anything else. You bring your trash down to the curb and it goes away. And what most people want from trash pickup. But that will be changing, I think, substantially in the next year or so. That's what we're hearing. And so, of course, again, no particular plan has been permanently decided, but we are hearing that there's a new contract with the hauler, right, Casella, and that's going to be, I think, a five-year contract that will be implemented. And one of the things that they want out of that contract, it sounds like, is that they get a new trucks that will automatically or robotically pick up your trash and dump it into the truck. And I suppose that would save them money, and therefore can save the city money as well on the pickup.
Right. So there's a lot of to unpack here.
Yeah, of course.
So first of all, I want to start by saying that, yes, Pittsfield is in Berkshire County is one of two, I believe, communities that have curbside trash pickup included in the tax package, as you mentioned. Yeah. And we have we have to be diligent about making sure that our taxes are used properly and that we're not necessarily wasting where we don't need to, you know, where we can save.
Yeah.
So especially this year, the city council requested that the mayor present and the administration present a budget that reflects that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is going up. That's right now, that's the nature of things.
Right.
The cost to deal with trash has gone up steadily over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we have to live with. And to expect otherwise it would be foolish.
Right.
So we need to address that. We need to do things. We need to do something to improve how we deal with it. And in doing that, save money potentially.
Yeah.
Right. That's our goal.
Right. And, of course, closing of the incinerator a couple of years ago,
right.
Which I think everybody in that area and most of Pittsfield will agree is a good thing in general, mm-hmm. because, you know, we shouldn't be burning our trash and putting the pollution up into the air. It doesn't make really a lot of sense. But, of course, that makes an impact in terms of how we deal with it. Where does it go? How does it get away, go away? And where does it go? And how much does that cost?
Right.
Those are all questions that sort of that spiked up, right?
Right. So, to begin with, the industry, solid waste management industry, is moving in this direction with automation. So we heard very clear from a different vendor that has been in the area before, Republic, that they would not be doing anything that would not include automation. Casella is saying the same thing. They are here now. We have. The transfer station is owned by Casella.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we do on the curbside side of things has to deal with the transfer station. So it does make sense to reach out and negotiate with Casella for the contract. And it's one of the things that we are allowed to do under Chapter 30 B of the procurement laws.
Is there a bidding process of some kind? Could another hauler be interested in bidding on the solid waste collection in Pittsfield?
There could be interest, but we are not going out to bid on this. We recognize the small number of vendors that are currently in the area that can offer that. And like I mentioned, it has to, anyone who does it will have to deal with Casella anyways.
Because they own the transfer station.
They own the transfer station. So we need to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
So automation, what does that mean? It essentially means that we need some standardization at the curbside. So that's why when we talk about automation, we also have to talk about toters.
Mm.
And I'm going to use the word toters. At least I'll try. But if you hear the word carts, that's the same thing.
Okay.
Carts equals toters. Yep. So,
but these are all the same type of and exactly the same model of a container, shall we say. So you can't just go to your hardware store and pick up a hefty trash bin and say, that's my trash bin. This, you will have the same bin that everyone else on your street and everyone else in the city will have.
Correct. So that's where things start to get, it's not something that's out there in the mist.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that will affect me.
Mm-hmm.
As a resident, I will have something different, something specific, something that I might not like, something that I might love.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Yeah. We have to deal with 43,000 residents,
right.
In this. So our plan currently with Casella includes the acquisition of the toters, the acquisition of the equipment, the trucks. And under that contract, we have arrived at a value that's less than last year by $80,000. So with those acquisitions, we have been able to save money from last year to this year, and that's huge.
Yeah,
in a world where we should be anticipating an increase,
sure,
we were able to go backwards, and that's huge.
Yeah,
so the
$80,000 includes the capital costs of the trucks and the toters.
Mm-hmm. It does, and that would be in a level funded way. We saved $80,000, but if we had to include increases, it would be more.
Right,
More savings. So that's on the curbside pickup side of things. What this program allows us to do now is put a recycling toter in everyone's yard.
Mm.
Right, and
now will that be the same size toter as the trash toter? So the trash toter was going to be a 48-gallon, which is not a huge toter. It's sort of, I would consider it a sort of a medium sized toter, right?
That's right. So 48-gallon toter for trash. The contract right now lists a 48-gallon toter for recycling.
So they'd basically be the same size.
Same size,
different color, probably.
Right now, as it's being discussed, there is some potential. There can be a different size for the recycling.
Mm.
only because the trucks that will pick up trash will be different than the trucks that will pick up recycling.
Okay.
So when we talk about calibrating the truck's arm to pick it up,
mm-hmm.
we have to take that into account. We cannot really have different toter sizes for the same truck. Mm-hmm. What we can do is when we're dealing with two different trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a possibility where we, instead of having a smaller 48-gallon toter, we have a larger one, and that promotes more recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal, is to shift. Pittsfield has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem, a trash problem. We are right now, I'm going to use the numbers, 90-10. That's where we are right now. 90% trash, 10% recycling.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
And very little incentive to move the needle on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is bad. It does not make sense financially. And here's why. We pay less for recycling.
Hmm.
So the more we recycle, the less we pay.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that we're going to generate more recycling. It means that we're going to shift
mm-hmm.
from the trash tonnage to the recycling.
Yep.
So our overall tonnage stays the same, but now we're paying less. And that's where the true savings come from.
Mm.
So when we start asking people and we give them the tools and the means to do so, when we tell them, put your recycling here, this toter, 48-gallon toter for trash is all you get.
Yep.
You need to do something to minimize your trash
right.
and increase your recycling. There will be options if you choose as a family that, you know, if you say there's no way I can work with a 48-gallon toter.
Yeah, let's say you have a big family or an extended family or something, a lot of people living in the house, and you just can't fit the trash that you're generating into that one toter.
There will be options. Mm-hmm. There will be options. We have worked with Casella to implement a second toter.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, this is where the pay-as-you-throw component comes in.
Mm.
And it's part of the contract and the proposal to the city council is, with this pay-as-you-throw, quote-unquote pay-as-you-throw component, is you pay a quarterly fee and you get an additional toter.
You're paying for the additional capacity, essentially.
Exactly.
Yep. For the trash, but not for the recycling.
For the trash.
Mm-hmm.
For the recycling, it's essentially unlimited
yeah.
because we want to save money.
Mm-hmm. How much education do you think will be necessary for people who haven't really been in the practice of recycling to get the idea that a lot of what they are throwing into the trash can be put into recycling, and then also to tell them about the things that maybe shouldn't go into recycling?
We have a long road ahead of us in terms of education.
Mm.
And we're going to start with the public input sessions. The first one is Monday.
Mm.
That one is in the morning
yeah,
at 10 a.m.
That's at the senior center,
at the senior
right?
center.
Yep.
I hope to see a lot of people there. The next two sessions are at night, one at Conti, one at Herberg.
Yep.
I don't have the dates in front of me right
yeah,
now.
I think it's the next Monday, next Thursday, and then I think the following week. I don't know if that's a Tuesday or Thursday.
Yeah, Monday, Thursday, yeah. and then, yeah.
Yeah. I know that PCTV will be covering two out of three of those for sure, the senior center one in the morning, and then the following week at Herberg. Those are the ones that PCTV will be covering. So if
Good.
You can't get out to one of those meetings, you will be able to watch them and watch them as many times as you like, I guess,
right.
as well. But I'm sure that the idea of getting people to those meetings where they can ask questions and that you can sort of fold those into some of the plans also is a good thing.
So we are working with Casella to have them drive most of the education. They have plans to roll out an app mm-hmm. that people, residents can have that will have information on recycling, information on the system, information specific to Pittsfield on the calendar
mm-hmm.
and all that. They will be conducting, there's discussions for PSAs and there's discussions mm-hmm. for going out into more public sessions, educational in nature, after we have the contract settled.
Yeah. And when do you expect that to be something that is settled? Is that by the end of this budget year?
The idea is to go into contract for July 1st.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That does not mean we're going automated on
no.
July 1st,
yeah.
but the contract is in place and we can start the process for education and deployment.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the education. It's followed by getting all families, the toters. Mm-hmm. And the last step, of course, is going automated. Mm. And that process will take time. It'll take weeks. Yeah. We'll go routes, one route at a time. We have 17,000, around 17,200 families that we need to get into automation.
Yeah.
It's a big task. We're going to get it done. With the help and patience of all residents, we will get there.
Mm. How about the recycling side? Will people still be doing paper on 1 week and containers on the next week, or is it going to be single stream, or do we not know that yet?
We will stay on dual stream. Mm. The reason for that is simply financial. Again, going back to saving money, if we move to single stream, the savings are not there. And the bottom line is that the market for dual stream is more profitable. We get more money back that pays up. So at the end of the day, we end up paying less for the processing of the recycling, because the more we can sell materials for.
Yeah, because the collector, or they don't have to separate it back out, basically.
Right.
So we're doing the work there, and it costs a little bit less.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's contaminated less.
Yeah.
That's a big component.
Right.
So then,
of course, there's some probably edge cases that people will have to work with about where they bring their container down, right, and where they would store it and things like that, and whether elderly people are able to move those toters.
That's true.
Or if they could normally just take a bag of garbage and walk it out to the corner, they could do that, but maybe couldn't do the toter. Are those conditions being considered also?
Right. So we have a program for backyard pickup. That's going to remain in place. Mm-hmm. We have the toters themselves weigh about 22-25 pounds. 48-gallon toter on its own weighs 22 pounds,
with wheels, of course.
With wheels. Mm-hmm. You wheel it out. We're going to have the toters on the public meetings. So right now they're sitting at the senior center. So if you want to take a peek at it, I don't know where it is exactly, but if you're swinging by the senior center and you might see it lurking around in a corner. It's going to be a process. Mm-hmm. We want to improve the way we deal with our trash. We want to improve our financial situation with respects to our trash. And this is this makes sense to move in this direction.
Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. If you're just joining us, he is the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities for the City of Pittsfield. And in the time that we have left on the show here, let's talk about water and sewer rates, which is also something recently in the news, and how there's a new model coming for how to handle that year to year. And of course, we've seen some very big ups and downs recently with costs, and people have, you get those bills quarterly, and when you see one that goes way, way up, you're like, oh boy, I didn't see that coming, right? And so we're hoping with a new model, it sounds like, to make that a little bit more predictable. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so it's funny because the Consumer Price Index categorizes the water and sewer rates in the same category as solid waste management.
Hmm.
So when I said before that the costs for dealing with our trash is going up consistently for the last 30 years, that also includes water and sewer.
Hmm.
And we see it.
Mm-hmm.
We see it go up. We have, at the same time, an aging infrastructure that does not, time goes forward, right? We install something and it will age,
yeah.
Right?
The amazing thing is that some of the 100-year infrastructure is still working as well as it is, really.
It is, and I'm going to make a quick pause and say, in large part, because of the amazing personnel we have working at the treatment plants, because of the amazing personnel and staff we have working in our department to make it work, to repair as needed.
Yep.
But we are falling behind.
Mm.
We've been falling behind since day one, whenever that was.
Yeah.
It's difficult to keep up. And
well, you only have so many resources to get after it, too. And I right. always think of those folks in the middle of January fixing a water main break. And
right.
you say, oh, man, thank goodness that they're there doing that, right?
That's right.
That's hard, hard work
so we
in the
have,
middle of the winter.
We have major plans ahead of us for improving our water treatment plants. And that's one of the main drivers for creating a structure that will allow us to accomplish those plans. It includes borrowing money mm-hmm. out of the enterprise accounts. And with that, we can make those improvements. Very necessary. Mm. You know, these plants were built in the mid-80s. We're coming up to 40 years now mm. on the plants. It's way past, they're way past their shelf life.
Wow.
And we need to improve them. We're not moving away from the technology we have there. It's mm-hmm. it's a great technology. Crofta, mm-hmm. Sand flotation device, it's a good technology. Mm. We need to improve it. It's old. We have better ways of doing things with Crofta. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that. Mm. At the same time, we want the community, the residents, to know that around January, February, where we should be in terms of a rate increase, mm. so that it's not a June, July. Surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we set forward a plan to have the water and sewer rates be by a formula, be set by a formula. That formula includes the consumer price index mm-hmm. as a base, and then we add on any changes, and we call the OSF, the operational stability factor. And those changes are specific to the plans we have for our 20, 5, 10, 15, 20-year capital plans.
Okay.
And
so essentially it provides for the normal increase in inflation that we all expect to have to pay, plus making sure that the infrastructure can be maintained and improved as it needs to be so that you don't fall behind, so that it doesn't become right. a crisis. And I think about the major improvements that had to be made for the EPA, for example, which
right.
I'm sure not everybody saw coming. And then at some point it was like, no, we got to do this. You can't just not do it. You're going to have a problem. It has to get done.
Right.
And so that's a major, major problem to take care of and has a financial impact and a big sort of bump, you know, going forward.
That's correct. And this is what we're trying to avoid.
Mm.
We're trying to avoid big hikes.
Yeah.
When we have things that happen in of that yeah. nature.
Because everybody would love their water rates and sewer rates to stay completely flat and stable all the time. It's just not practical.
Not practical, not possible. Practical. It can't be. It can't yeah. be done. So the bottom line, I want to also mention that despite increases that we are planning for this year, it's an 8% increase based on this for both water and sewer.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a 16% increase, hmm. as some folks mentioned.
So you don't add the 8 and the 8.
No, you cannot. That's not how math works. It's an 8% increase. Hmm. You add the previous values together. You can do that, and yeah. then you multiply by the 8% increase. Yeah. You cannot add the 16 to you know. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing is even with those increases, yeah. we are going to be at 2016 levels when we compare mm-hmm. to communities our size, our of communities similar to us,
mm-hmm.
gateway communities. We are at 2016 levels, meaning their rates where we are now back in 2016.
Wow. What are the factors, and I know we've only got a couple minutes left, what are the factors that make water and sewer rates much higher in other communities where Pittsfield has sort of been able to dodge some of that over the years? Is it just that we're fortunate to have the reservoirs that we have and the infrastructure that we have and where we live geographically? Has that played in our favor?
I think it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because the reasons these communities have the rates where they are, I would say, is because they've been consistently staying on top of where they need to be.
Okay.
And the reason we have our rates as low as they are is because we have been pushing it aside, deferring maintenance, at the same time that same equipment has been going bad.
Which can be popular politically and makes for a good headline, but doesn't necessarily make for a better water and sewer system, for sure. Ricardo Morales, I can't believe it. We're coming to the end of the program already. And hard to believe that happened so quickly. But here we are, and I want to thank you. Tell people where to get the newsletter.
Yeah, so we have the newsletters coming out today for the newsletter for May. And it will have some good information of all the stuff we talked about. You can find it in the city webpage under the Department of Public Services and Utilities. And you can click on the get a notification on it and to get it in your email.
That's how you're going to stay on top of some of this stuff, not to mention listening to Morning Drive and
definitely
checking it out when you're here, which we appreciate you coming on the show and letting people know what's going on. Morning Drive, folks. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody. Drive where you